Magnus Haystack, who's the founder and chief investment strategist at Brenthurst Wealth, has been around the block a few times. He's also been, I guess you could say, the most realistic of the investment advisors in South Africa for at least the last decade and a half. But he's starting to change his view. It wasn't long ago that I asked Magnus what he would do or what it would take for him to believe that South Africa was investable again. Well, 2 weeks ago, he spoke to my colleague Chris Steyn and said to her he's feeling a little more upbeat. We'll find out why in a bit more detail and look ahead to September the 12th when Magnus is going to be at the first BizNews Investment Conference. Always good to be talking with you, Magnus. Well, that BNC number one in Hermanus on the 12th of September is turning out to be quite an event. We'll have there the chairman of Eskom. We'll have the chairman of Kinetco Energy, which is a listed company in Australia. But he is Don Ngube, who you would recall. And Kinetco has its major asset is gas finds in Mpumalanga, which is apparently crawling with the stuff. So we'll have that as well. And we'll have Magnus Haystack saying, I'm not feeling so negative anymore. Is that the message you're going to be telling our tribe?
Yes, good afternoon, Alec. And it's really nice to be trying to convey that message. And I am feeling better. I am feeling more positive. But it's important to understand why. And for that reason, one has to go back 10 or 11 years ago when I started warning about the South African market versus the rest of the world. And, you know, I think it was Peter Lynch. You probably know who he was. He ran the Magellan Fund for Fidelity, hugely successful. And amongst all these nuggets of wisdom, the one thing I remembered from either an article or a webcast is he said the most important question when it comes to dealing with the future forecasts or prospects of a market is a very simple one. Are things getting better or is it getting worse? And from there on, he will do his analysis. Now, 10, 11 years ago, in my mind, there was no doubt things in South Africa were getting worse. We had the down credit down ratings. We had the Gupta years. We had the Zuma years. We had state capture. We had, you know, the weakening currency, etc. So whenever I had to make a call or an opinion about the stock market, to me, I said, guys, things are not getting better. They're actually getting worse. And from there on, I started recommending offshore investments. And so fast forward 10 years later, that was the correct call by a very, very wide margin and quite dramatically so. But for the last year and a half, quietly, I've started looking at all the economic indicators that I do look at. And I started telling myself, guys, it feels like we've hit the bottom. I think it can't get worse than it is now. There was subtle shifts in government policy. There was a subtle shift in the overseas approach to South Africa. Nothing dramatic. And in the last 6 months or so, we started seeing a turnaround starting to happen. Money is starting to flow back into the country, or at least it has stopped flowing out of the country at the enormous rate that it has been flowing out. So that was one issue that I looked at. I looked at Eskom. Eskom, we've had 120 days without load shedding. And if you or I had chatted about this 6 months ago, we would have said it's impossible. Eskom is going to collapse. Thirdly, I sense a change in the way certain individuals are appearing in court on fraud charges. SARS is moving against many high-profile individuals closely connected to the ANC that I would not have thought possible a year or two ago. I think when you look at the interest rate cycle, we've been having or forced to have very high interest rates for a long time. The feeling is now that we've reached the upper limits and interest rates can start coming down. And then lastly, I mean, I just get a feeling amongst people that I talk to, business people, clients, fund managers, there's been a subtle shift in the mood after the election, we didn't have the worst case scenario of an MK, EFF, ANC alliance. So that's moved away for the foreseeable future. And, you know, just a couple of those things, and suddenly the confidence starts coming back. So you start looking at the behavior of some of our financial indicators. The rand has been slightly stronger, been moving sideways for about 3 years now. There seems to be a bit of support around the 18-20 level. And two of our sectors on the stock market have quietly started delivering very good returns. Listed property, which was a terrible investment up to about 2.5 years ago. Suddenly there's money flowing quietly into that sector, and in the last couple of weeks into the financial sector. So what I'm saying is that the sort of bold forecast that stay away from the JSE is now, I'm saying, from a strategic positioning, there could be some nice profits coming your way if you buy at the right time, buy the right sector, buy the right fund manager who's reading the market as we are doing. And we're already seeing that the last 2 to 3 years, listed property has given us a 12% return, whereas for the previous 8 years, they gave you zero. So that's a very nice uplift. And so there's a couple of green shoots that I see. And nothing major, no bullishness, no we're going to outperform the world kind of stuff. That's not going to happen. But there are some very nice positions to be taken in our local market. If the GNU holds and they start or they continue on the very nice path that they've moved on. We've seen some new ministers come in and start shaking the tree, which is very, very pleasant to see. And there's really some, one gets the feeling that there's a new energy in government and its coalition partners.
Yeah, the whole competitive politics, which has brought pragmatism, has really, really made a change. And it's almost like Cyril Ramaphosa was made for this moment. He has been, he's more of a consensus leader, and now we're seeing him perhaps to best advantage in that he's bringing everybody together. But being specific now, Magnus, you've mentioned property. And as we know, property is all about long-term confidence. I like the point you made of Peter Lynch, and of course his famous book, Beating the Market, is almost prescribed reading for anyone, saying that you should be investing when things are going in the correct direction, in other words, upwards. But is property on your list now? And I'm talking here individual property, because remember, for most South Africans, the biggest asset by far that they hold is their house.
The residential property market, again, as we know, for the last 10, 12 years has been not a great place to be. It's not produced above inflation returns. In fact, there's some reports that I think we commented with Christine that anybody who bought a residential property in the last 10 years outside of the Western Cape and who's selling now is selling at a rand loss, not even a inflation-adjusted loss. So that's a big smack, if I can call it that, for middle-class wealth. Plus the very, very poor returns on the multi-asset balanced funds that most people invest, their pension funds. You know, I can send you returns of some of our top names. I'm not going to embarrass them, but the large insurance companies and banks, some of their funds have cost you 30% in inflation-adjusted terms over the last 10 years. It's quite shocking. So having said that, you know, again, cycles do come and go, and there's a little bit of renewed optimism. Some of the leading economic indicators are showing an uplift. The Reserve Bank drop interest rates 1 or 2%, and suddenly people can start afford a little bit more in property. So the Western Cape is a special case. You know it's a different market, different dynamics, and that's been very strong and still remains very strong. And I've publicly said, you know, I bought some more property in the Cape for very selfish reasons, because I think that's where I will make the best returns going forward. But I think middle-class South Africa needs a bit of a break. Their finances have been shattered. There's no balance sheet. There's no equity in their house. There's very little equity in their personal savings. So South Africa needs a bit of a break. And we need growth, we need a firm government, and if we have some consistency in government going forward, and hopefully not a breakup between the ANC and the DA or the ANC splintering, which are the risk factors that one needs to look at, I think the next 5 years can be much better than the past or the previous 5 years. And I think everybody would love to experience a bit of good times, because most South Africans, excluding the very rich, have externalized most of their assets a long time ago, have had a drop and decline of living. They cannot afford the motor car that they would like to. They cannot afford the overseas trips anymore. Imported goods are too expensive. So let's hope for some better news in the next 3 to 5 years. And I think it can get, I think it's looking a bit better.
Magnus, when you talk to your clients and also to movers and shakers in the economy, business people, people who do control lots of money, how are they viewing the results of the election, given that it's only a month ago, the end of May, we're now getting to the end of July, that these big changes, the ANC went from 57% in the previous national election down to 40%, and there seems to be a far different political environment, which is critically important in any developing country. But how are they viewing this? Are they viewing it with circumspection? Are they saying too soon to make a call? Or do you have some brave souls out there who, like you, are saying, well, maybe we were on a downward trajectory, now it might be time to reassess?
I think it's a good question, and I've been talking to a lot of my clients, especially some of my very large clients. There seems to be an improvement in the mood. And in fact, I had dinner with one last night, an extremely wealthy person with business interests in SA, outside of South Africa, and he was quietly confident that it's getting better, and he spoke about expanding his production facilities. He's in the food industry, and he said they're going to be spending a bit of money. They also see a little bit of an upturn. You must remember, those people are very well informed. They rely on these sources of information from various sources, either professional and non-professional. And so, and the mood has been, things are looking better. The election results, the way they panned out, is actually not too bad. There's a bit of stability in government. We don't have the screaming and the shouting of the EFF and the MK like we had to. And they kind of get the feeling the threat from the MK is kind of just about done and dusted. EFF is on its way out. It's not drawing in, 20 to 30% of radical voters who want to kick the whites out of the country, and they kind of calm down a little bit. So the mood is getting better. I really mean it. I just speak what I hear and see, Eric, and the mood is getting better. I'm personally feeling better. The discussions we're having with clients is much more optimistic. It doesn't change the overall investment strategy for a client, which is still driven by externalization and globalization, but it's a tactical move to maybe increase your SA exposure if the facts warrant it, and that's what's exactly happening within our company.
And then if we go bargain seeking, I had a fascinating conversation again with a well-informed person yesterday who says that the estate agents are telling him that much of the semigration that occurred in the last few years, with people moving from Gauteng down to, in particular, Cape Town, is starting to reverse. And the reason for that is the property prices in Gauteng, particularly Johannesburg and Pretoria, are so, so much lower, and you can get so much more for your money than you can now get in Cape Town. So why live in a pokey hole or a pokey little apartment in Cape Town when you can get quite a spread for the same money in Johannesburg? Are you seeing any of that, or would you give any credence to that? This guy says that there has definitely been more sales by Gauteng incomers, recent arrivals, than purchases.
He's absolutely right. You know, within our family, I've got three of my adult kids have moved down to the Cape, and I look at what they're paying for property, and I chuckled, and I had a go at them. I said, guys, you're buying in the wrong place. You can get double the size house in Dainfern or up north in a nice area. So you're quite right. There is that, and that's a financial reality. The property prices in Joburg is so low at this moment. You're buying property at 10,000-15,000 rand a square meter, whereas you go down to the Cape, you're paying 40,000-60,000 a square meter. And a lot of people are going down there, and then they live in a very tight apartment, and they actually say, guys, we can have a very big house on a golf course, and all the bells and whistles. So that's the one thing that I've noticed. And the second one is a couple of my clients have been phoning from the UK and from Jersey or wherever they've retired to, saying basically, guys, we can't afford to live in the UK anymore. We're coming back to South Africa. The cost of living, the cost of accommodation is so cheap. It is playing a role. And all you need to do is continue with the GNU, get crime and order under control, and you will see potentially a lot of people moving back to South Africa and even to Gauteng. But, you know, I must just comment on this issue. You know, Magda Verzitska from Signia made a call last week saying, why doesn't the government think out of the box for a change and open up the doors of South Africa to these extremely wealthy expats, the non-doms from London and the countries, looking for a tax-free haven to come and set up their structures. Forget about this worldwide taxation on income. Let these wealthy billionaires pay a flat rate of tax in South Africa and set up structures. That's the kind of innovative thinking that we need in government, and hopefully somebody is listening. And we've seen it in Mauritius, where since they started with their immigration or property immigration related plan, they've attracted 6,000 people from abroad. And for a small country like Mauritius, it's a big number, because 6,000 properties times 4 or 5, you're looking at 20 to 30,000 people with money, who spend the money, we employ people, who spend it in restaurants, golf courses, etc. That stimulates the economy. The Mauritian government is seeing that. Maybe the government looks and say, look, we need some innovative thinking. We need to create jobs. What about opening up the doors to these rich and say, come and settle in South Africa. We will treat you differently. Now, that's something that maybe we'll see in the near future.
It is an interesting point. If you consider how much you have to pay to get into the United States or into Europe or even the UK through the particular investment allowances. In Australia are cutting back as well. All over the world, immigration is tightening. This could be seen as an opportunity. I guess in the past, it was never something that would even be on the agenda, but so much has changed. Yesterday, I spoke with Herman Mashaba, who says he is going to support the ANC in government in Johannesburg. And the reason he's going to do that is because the place is just falling apart, in his opinion. So he was a man who avowedly said he would never, ever support the ANC. They're all a bunch of crooks. It's almost like we're seeing pragmatism, realism, the reality rather than the dogmatic approach of ideologies that have dominated this country's politics for some time. Maybe we're growing up at last, Magnus.
Well, I hope so. I think this ideology that the ANC has been following for the last 20 to 30 years, it's just not worked. I mean, and I think it was quite a telling comment that Cuban and Naidu, the former deputy governor of the Reserve Bank, made, which he's now at Investec. He said at the end of 2022, South Africa was peering over the abyss. We were just about to implode financially. And I think that's where the seeds for Operation Vulindlela was formed. And I think government has realized, guys, we stuffed up. Our policy is not working. We need to do something. And let's hope that it continues. And government comes with totally radical free market-related ideas to get the economy going, because that's where my more positive scenario will fall flat. We don't get economic growth going. All of the projections and all of the revisions will fall flat, and it'll just be a repeat of Ramaphosa all over again. Short-lived upturn, rand strengthens, money flows in, but there has to be economic growth, because, you know, with our levels of unemployment and poverty, you know, you cannot hope to build a prosperous country.
Well, it certainly does look like we are on a different path. It's always difficult to say in a country like South Africa that this time it's different and we are going in the right direction. But Well, if you're a betting man, you've got to see the messages on the wind. And the final point, I guess, one should make about this is that the South African long-term government debt has gone from over 11% before the election to under 10% afterwards. And that takes a lot of money to move it. Magnus Haystack is the founder and chief investment strategist at Brenthurst Wealth. And I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.